You may be sitting. If you would turn your Bible to Psalms 103, I want to talk to you about human suffering and divine healing. My subject, 11 biblical ways that God heals, and this will be part one. I love to preach evangelistically. I love the thrust of that, and I love to see the miracle working power of God. And when I first got saved, I began to see that God had given to me the manifestation gifts of healing. Now, I don't control that. That operates as He wills and not as I will. If I could do it like I will, I'd go clean out all the hospitals. Amen. But I prayed for a lot of people that were healed, and I prayed for people that died. So I know it's not me. I preached to a lot of people that never got saved, and I preached to an awful lot of people that got saved. So I know it's the manifestation of God, and it's Jesus operating and doing what He loves to do. But this will be a two-part series, and miracles, they begin with knowledge. You've got to know. They begin with faith. They begin with adoration. They begin with praise, and they begin with a heart of thanksgiving. You've got to come to God believing that He is and that He will meet your need. I'm reading from Psalms 103, verse 1. The psalmist said, "Bless the Lord." So he begins with praise and blessing. "O my soul and all that's within me, bless His holy name." And he comes back, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." What are those benefits, David? "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy disease, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindnesses and tender mercies." And I love this part, the old I get. "Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like that of the eagles." Hallelujah. My subject this morning, 11 biblical ways that God heals, part one. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for how you've graced this place with your presence. We thank you for your word, Lord, that your word brings liberty, it brings freedom, it brings life, it brings health. Lord, that you paid for us at Calvary. You bought us spirit, soul, and body. And I ask you today, Lord, to speak through these lips of clay. Let me preach with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Quicken your word to the hearts of your people, and to those that are lost, God, save them, convict them, bring them into the kingdom. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. See, the benefits of Calvary, they are for you. He forgives all our sin, and He heals all our disease. I just read that to you out of the Bible. Now, when Jesus was here on planet Earth, the Bible says, great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them all. The Bible says, as many as touched Him were made perfectly whole. The Bible says, and the whole multitude sought to touch Him, for there went virtue out of Him, and He healed them all. The Bible says, He cast out the spirit with His words and healed all that were sick. So we know that it's God's will to heal, because God anointed His Son with healing power. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. I want you to look at Acts 10 and 38 with me. We're Trinitarians, and as you look at this, you will see the whole Godhead that is involved in your healing. How God, that's the Father, anointed Jesus of Nazareth, that's the Son, with the Holy Ghost, that's the Spirit, and with power, who went about doing good, healing how many? All that were oppressed of the devil. So I'm coming right out of the Word of God. So if you want to be divinely healed, you must understand God's will concerning you. Don't look at other people. Don't look at their problems. Get the Word of God for yourself. Believe God for your healing. And then once you start obtaining your healings and you start understanding the Word of God, you'll be able to pray as you grow in grace and knowledge, the effective, fervent prayer for other people. So you don't need, and the church world today does not need, a religious Jesus that teaches doctrines that are contrary to the Bible. You don't need a denominational Jesus that says the days of miracles are over. We need the Jesus of the Bible who saves, who heals, and who provides for our every need. Glory to God. He is a great God. See, healing for all 2,000 years ago is the same today. Jesus has never changed. God does not change. He changes us. He takes us from faith to faith, from glory to glory, and from victory to victory as we overcome the world, the devil, and the flesh in Jesus' name. There's a battle going on. But God is our Jehovah Rapha. He said it of himself in Exodus 15:26. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, when God first spoke that to me personally, he made it very personal. He said, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. That was in June 10th, 1986. God spoke that to me in a prayer. I wasn't sick, and I laughed. I said, God, I'm not even sick, and you're telling me you're going to heal me? 10 years later, I needed healing. And today I stand before you a miracle from the grace of God, because God extended my life when it looked like all hope was gone. And God has called me to preach these great truths. So today I want to begin a two-part series on 11 biblical ways that God heals. And God wants you to be healed. Number one, how does God heal? First of all, he heals through your faith. Now, we Pentecostal people, we like to see the signs and the wonders and the sign gifts that God gives to people. And they are real. They're real today. And God puts those gifts in the body as it pleases him. And he called me into that realm. But God heals through your faith. Now, faith is a byproduct of hearing the word of God. Faith is never produced by sympathy. Faith is never produced by discussing your pains and your aches and your sickness and your disease with someone else. Amen. Where does faith come from? Look at Romans 10:17. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not having heard the word of God, but by hearing the word of God. We're in a world where Satan is called the God of this world. He is not in control, the Lord God omnipotent reigning. But Adam means earth bound. And when Adam fell into sin in the garden, Satan, sickness and disease and sin showed up on planet earth. So if you want to know the source of something, go back to where it originated. But God revealed himself as the great healer. And so faith is born when we hear the truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. As I preach many times, there are no new truths. There are old revelations that the church world that we live in has lost. And so we need to rediscover those truths. We need to redistribute those truths and to teach and preach those truths so God's people can have the life Jesus came to give us and have that more abundantly. Hallelujah. I love the word of God. So faith, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, truth has always been truth. It's not truth that frees you. It is the knowledge of truth that frees you. And once you hear that word, then faith is born in your heart as you begin to apply these great truths in the Bible. I want to give you some biblical examples today where people were healed by their faith as the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, ministered to them. Look at Matthew 9:27. It says, two men followed him crying and saying, thy son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus saith unto them, believe you that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were open. Jesus, the man of faith, Jesus, the healer, Jesus, the Savior, Jesus, the provider, Jesus, the miracle worker, he asked them, do you believe I'm able to do this? And what he was doing, he was getting them to activate their faith. You have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. How did you get saved? With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So Jesus was trying to get into their heart the fact of who he was, and did they believe that? And then he says, according, they said, yay. He said, according to your faith be done. So I want you to notice that you don't just need to believe in salvation. You got to get unto it. How do you get unto it? You believe and confess it. How do you get unto healing? You believe it and you confess it. How do you get unto the blessings of God? You believe them and you confess them. You have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And when you do that, your faith goes into operation and you can be healed through your faith and you get great blessings from God through your faith. Let me give you another example. To the woman of Cana who sought for mercy of the Lord for her daughter who was lying at home, grievously vexed of a devil. Jesus replied after he had seen her persistent, unwavering faith. Look at what he said. Matthew 15:28. O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thy will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. See, Jesus called healing the children's bread on this occasion. She said, well, Master, even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. He said, true. So she kept coming after him. She would not give up. She was persistent. But thank God, Jesus said, you're asking for the children's bread. She said, all I need is a crumb. I believe there's enough power in a crumb that falls from your table to take care of my need. We're not living on crumbs today. We got the whole book. We got 66 books. We got the whole loaf is what I'm trying to say. So praise God. God wants us healed. And he said, daughter, your daughter's healed because of your faith. See, some people can get healed because of your faith. But you've got to learn to use your faith for yourself. I've been to many people that were not saved. Matter of fact, my wife and I were praying with someone earlier this week like this, and their heart was in AFib. And we prayed and blessed them. And guess what? Their heart went back into rhythm. People say, well, that could just happen. No, it hadn't happened. He said, I felt the power of God flowing to me when that man laid his hands on me. That's the Jesus of today. He said, the works I do shall you do also, and greater works than these do, because I go unto my Father, and when I get there, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. How God anointed you with the Holy Ghost and with power. He wants you to be his representative. He wants you to show his love. He wants you to show forth his grace. He wants you to tell people that he saves, that he heals, that he delivers, that he's a Jesus that loves you and God loves you. And the whole Godhead is working together to get you saved, sanctified, cleansed, whatever you want to call it, committed to God. God wants you to come into covenant with him and to tell others the great story of what he's done for you. So Jesus said, thy faith has made your daughter whole. Look at Mark in Mark 5:34, to the woman who had to issue blood for 12 years. Now, I preached a whole sermon on this woman who pressed through the crowd, saying within herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. What did she base her faith on? She based it on what Malachi had said earlier. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wing. And she knew where he was. She had spent everything she had. She grew no better. But Jesus saw her. He saw that she had done everything she could from a human standpoint. She had done all she could. So when she pressed her way to him and touched the border of his garment, virtue and power flowed out of him. And she was healed instantly. He said, who touched me? Peter said, the whole crowd is touching you. And you're asking who touched you? He said, this woman touched me. And she touched me with faith. And when she touched me with her faith, I felt power. I felt virtue. I felt healing anointing flow out of me. And she came trembling and said, it was me, Lord. I love to touch Jesus like that. It's me, Lord. It's just me, Lord. I've come to you because I know you're a great God. You're a great Savior. I know you're the Jesus of the Bible. You're a great healer. And I release my faith to receive from you. Look at Mark 5:34. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Behold of thy plague. Go in peace. Behold of thy plague. Now, to blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, Jesus said, look at Mark 10:52. Go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Now, this may be the same account that I started with. Some people believe it is, that two men came, and here he's on the roadside, and blind Bartimaeus take. The other men came into the room. So we just know Jesus healed those blind eyes. I love the way he healed Bartimaeus. My mother and dad used to sing that song, "One Set Alone Beside the Highway Begging." He was a beggar. He had on the beggar's garment. It was red and white, and everybody knew that it was a beggar's garment. They say, don't expect any more from that man than what you see right there. He's a beggar. He's always been a beggar. He'll always be a beggar. But when Jesus came by, he cast aside his garment, and he made his way to Jesus, and Jesus said, what do you want? He said, Lord. He made him Lord right there. He didn't say, I need a Savior. He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus touched him, and immediately he was healed. Hallelujah. Go to Jesus with your faith and say, it's just me, God. I'm here, and I'm here because I believe you're a good God. I believe the Word of God. I believe the Bible. If you're lost today and the Holy Ghost is speaking to you and you believe Jesus Christ died, took your sins upon himself as your substitute, ushered them off to the region of darkness, was buried, was raised again the third day by God the Father, ascended up into glory. If you believe that in your heart and confess it with your mouth, you shall be saved. Hallelujah. It's just that simple. But you can sit in church and never come and be born again and say you're Christian forever. But let me tell you something. When your faith reaches out and you believe in your heart and you repent of your sins and you come to Jesus and you say, I want to make you Lord, I believe. And when you believe like that, praise God, the greatest miracle that could ever take place, and you're born again of God's Spirit, I think we ought to stand because we're saved and give Jesus Christ a standing ovation. I'm so glad he touched me and I came out of darkness into the marvelous light, and I'm saved, and I'm being saved as I make my way to the journey. I'm healed, and I'm being healed as I make my way home to Jesus in heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a great God we serve. Glory to God. Hallelujah. To the one leper in Luke chapter 17 who returned to give praise. Look what the master said, Luke 17:19. Arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Now, if Jesus required this type of faith when he was here on planet Earth in the flesh, don't you know he requires faith to get his miracles today? So I believe more people are healed by their faith, and somebody in the family, mother and daddy, maybe a grandmother or granddaddy, who understands the power of God. I believe more people are healed that way than any other way. We just don't hear all of those testimonies. But as our kids were growing up in our home, we would pray for them, and God would heal them. And they saw the manifested glory of God. And I mean, we got some great testimonies that what Jesus did, because we studied and we believed and we released God, the God of the Bible. Being healed by your own faith is one of the many biblical ways that God heals. But it's not the only way that God heals. I just gave you 4 or 5 biblical examples, though, of people in the Bible who were healed by their faith. Not only does God heal by your faith, but secondly, he heals by the prayer of agreement. I love this, the prayer of agreement, because think about when you got saved, the Bible says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And then when you got married, the Bible says, he that is joined unto a wife is one flesh. So you become one with God, you become one with your mate. So Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us, so he's praying for you. Then when you get your mate praying with you, you've got that prayer of agreement. And look at what Jesus said here in Matthew 18:19. Jesus said, again, I say unto you that if 2 of you shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them by of my Father, which is in heaven. Now look at verse 20. For where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The Jesus of the Bible, he loves to come and walk among the golden candlesticks of his church. I've had so many people, and I'll get to that later on, but they have told me, I was healed as you were preaching the Word of God. Julia Page, she was healed recently for 1.5 years. Her husband's out with his back right now. Don't think just because you get healed or get saved, the devil's going to give up. You have an adversary, the devil, that goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Jesus said he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But she had been sick for a year and a half or maybe more. And she said, while you were preaching, the power of God hit me. And she didn't tell me she was sick. I'm just walking through the altars. And I said, be healed. And kept on walking. She said, when you touch me, the power of God healed me instantly. That's what I'm talking about. The manifestations of the Spirit. And there are so many ways you can get to God. God wants you healed. The prayer of agreement. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus said, there am I in the midst of them. He wants to come into his church. We don't need to hold him out by making him a religious Jesus. The Pharisees did that. We don't need to make him a denominational Jesus. He said, my denomination teaches this and this and this and this. Well, I don't care about that. I want to know about this. What does my Bible teach? Amen. And I take the articles of faith, and I've taken them from many places, and I've gone back to this Bible. And I said, God, I want the Jesus of the Bible. That's what I want to preach to people. Because people are broken. They're sighing. They're crying. They're dying. They're hurting. They're fragmented. Their lives are being destroyed. And they need Jesus. They need the Jesus that we have come to know and we have come to love. Hallelujah. There's strength in unity. The prayer of agreement. We've been enjoying a strong corporate anointing in this church lately. But you can get healed by your own faith. But you can also be healed by the prayer of agreement, where you utilize the faith of other people. I love that. See, the Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, or one can put 1,000 demon spirits to flight, but two can put 10,000 spirits to flight. See, and where there is faith, and where there is love, and where there is unity, the blessings of God begin to flow. That door is a good door. We had that installed. Brother Doug, your men did a great job on that door. It's got three hinges on it. I preached for a long time. I've said it takes faith. It takes unity and love to get the gifts of the Spirit into operation. And one day I was reading the Bible, and I said, I know there's got to be another hinge. What is it, Lord? And I was reading in Ephesians. It said, one Spirit. There's love, and there's unity. And when I saw that, I said, how in the world did I miss faith? But that was the revelation I had at the time, and I was seeking to know. And because I kept searching for it, God showed me all three hinges. And if you can get people together in unity, the Bible says in Psalm 133, verse 3, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. You don't have to ask for them. He'll command it upon you. Get your home together. Get the church together. Get your relationship with other people together. Where you work, work together. Work in unity. Work in harmony. Work in love. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And then God's healing will flow into all those areas of your life. God loves us. He's a great God. We need the unity of the body. We need the unity of the Spirit. Amen. We need to follow the Word of God. And we need to anoint the sick with oil. And then there are times that look at James, where he says that you're to confess your faults one to another. James 5:16. I'll come back to that. But so many times people cannot get healed because that's secret sin. You know your heart. I don't. But as I preach the Word of God will reveal things to you. And he says, confess your faults. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another. Amen. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So we know that we are healed through unity. The church is the body. We need one another. And there's great strength in unity and great strength in the prayer of agreement. So not only we heal by our faith, not only we heal by the prayer of agreement, But thirdly, we are healed by anointing with oil. What's so important about the oil? Well, if you get a prayer cloth from this church, we'll get to that later. They've been prayed over. I take them when I'm full of sweat. I just anoint them. Hallelujah. People say, do you believe that? I said, I do believe it. God, Paul sent prayer cloths out. We'll get to that. But the anointing, what's so special about this oil? I have people ask me for my oil all the time. And I know why, because the Holy Ghost has talked to them. I take the oil when I buy it. I consecrate it for healing. I consecrate it for miracle working power. I put a little incense in there. God gave me a sermon years ago. My mother, she was sick. And I went to a church and filled up my flask. I carry one on me all the time. It's a little, that little bottle right there. It's got oil in it, fresh oil. And when I went by, I was preaching a revival up there. She said, son, you need some fresh oil. That oil stinks. Well, I got it from a church. So I went and got me some incense, started putting it in mine. And I started smelling the bottles of oil everywhere I go. And most of them stink. They're old and rancid. They got a form and a fashion, but they don't have any fresh oil. A lot of places. Now, there are a lot of places where the oil is flowing. Amen. But that oil has been consecrated. It was 3 years later that I was preparing for a revival, and I preached everything I knew up there at the time. And God spoke to me out of Psalms 91:10. Put Psalms 92:10. David said, my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of the unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And I knew that David, this man, when Samuel the prophet poured the oil on his head, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. So here's God's anointed man, David, the king. Amen. And he's crying out to God, God, I got a leak. I need some fresh oil. I've been anointed, but I need something fresh from the throne of grace. Hallelujah. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of the unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Say it with me. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Say it again. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Believe it in your heart and confess it. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I went, that's all I had from God. I went up there and I preached 3 nights from that text right there. And God gave me the sermons on my feet. Hallelujah. I went back and took extracts from, they were tapes in that day, and I put that message together. Fresh anointing. I have preached it all over, and I've probably seen more manifestations of God's salvation, his deliverance, sanctifying power, the baptism of the Holy Ghost and divine healing with that sermon than any other sermon I've ever preached. It came out of a great struggle in my own life and became very real to me. And I prayed over it and I preached it. I hadn't preached it in years. Probably need to pull that one out and preach it. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost spoke to me not too long ago, said, why don't you pray over what I've already given you and preach it? I've got, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sermons that God has given me over the years. But faith doesn't come from having heard that sermon. Faith comes from hearing that sermon. Don't let a religious spirit get on you and say, well, I've heard that before. Amen. Sure, you heard it before. If I didn't preach it, somebody else preached it. Hallelujah. The word of God is living, and it needs to be preached over and over and over again. I can put a brand new sermon together, and my wife, she lives with me. She said, I've heard that. I said, it's brand new. Well, she hears me day in and day out, day in and day out, and I've been here for 20 years. So what do you think I'm going to come up with new? I mean, it's the same me. The Holy Ghost gives it to me, but as I preach it, even though I take it from many areas of the Bible, those things are ingrained in me, and that's the way I express myself. That's why we're bringing Kenny Williamson in tonight. He's a singer. He's a musician. Tonight, 5 to 6, our youth will be meeting. And then at 6 o'clock, in our 6 o'clock service, he will be here bringing the word in song and bringing the word in ministry and great power of the Spirit of God. The people need that. Hallelujah. They need to hear something other than me all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Ricky, we're glad to have you on board, brother. He and I, we share the preaching. Amen. Look at Mark 6:13. It says, Jesus told his disciple, cast out the devils, anoint with oil the sick, and they'll be healed. And that's what they went and did. They cast them out, and they healed them. Look at James 5:14. I love this right here. Anointing with oil. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Jesus. There's the oil over there. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And look at this. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. So we need to understand what the scriptures say. And we need to follow the word of God, anoint the sick with oil, and the Lord will heal them. And then if there's sin there, verse 16 says, if you confess that sin, you're to confess it. You're to get it out in the open. Don't hide it. Don't come to church when the Spirit of God is talking to you and sit there and hide something. If you have to get to the altar, get to the altar. Whatever it requires to get your heart condition right so you can receive your miracle, that's what you need to do based on the Word of God. If it's the preacher, praise God, the preacher needs to get down here and believe God. Amen. So not only do we to anoint with oil, look at number four, the prayer of faith. Now, we talked about being healed by your faith, but now here's the prayer of faith. This is entirely different right here. So you can be healed by your faith, and you can be healed by the prayer of faith. You can get healed by the prayer of agreement. You can get healed by the anointing of oil. You can get healed as you release your faith to God. That's four ways right there. Your own faith, the prayer of agreement, anointing with oil, and then the prayer of faith. See, God wants you to be healed. And if you do not accept that fact, it will be very, very hard for you to get what Jesus paid for on the cross. He forgives all our sin. He heals all our disease. We're studying the eight compound redemptive names of God on Wednesday night. And I've studied these many times over the years, but I had never seen them in biblical order. And God first identified himself as Jehovah Jireh to Abraham on Mount Moriah. And then the next time he revealed himself was as Jehovah Rapha in Exodus, when Moses brought the people out of bondage. They needed healing. And so God began to reveal himself through those eight compound redemptive names that we're studying on Wednesday nights. And then all of these compound redemptive names, they were all manifest in the work that Jesus did at the cross. All of those compound redemptive names, they're called compound redemptive names. They pointed to the cross and the redemptive work of the cross. And he says, I don't want you to forget any of my benefits. I forgive all your sin. I heal all your disease. I crown your life with loving kindnesses and tender mercies. I satisfy your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like that of the eagles. Hallelujah. God is a great God. The prayer of faith. God wants you to be healed. See, God gave you a will, and you must exercise your will, your human will, if you're going to get healed. God wants to heal you. He's ready to heal you, and you've got to know that. If this truth has not become plain to you, then you will find it very difficult to get healed. If you got to pray, if it's thy will, that's only one time that is ever used in the Bible. Now, Jesus in the garden, he says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He prayed the same prayer three times. He knew what was in that cup. But he was obedient unto the cross, to death, even the death of the cross. That's why God highly exalted him. But the leper who came to him, I preached on that several weeks ago. He said, if you will, you can heal me. One of the newer translations said, if you want to, Jesus, you can heal me. Jesus said, I want to. And he healed him, said, now go show yourself to the priest. See, everything Jesus did, he did it in biblical order. And if you're going to get what he paid for, you'll have to get it through biblical order. And that's what I'm trying to give to you. He said, I want you to go to the priest, and I want you to offer the sacrifice that Moses said to offer. And there were two birds there. See, everything points to what Jesus did at the cross. He said, two birds of the same type. And the sparrow was the most common bird of that day. And he said, take one of those birds and I want you to kill it. And I want you to pour the blood in a basin. And I want you to take that other bird and I want you to take the and dip all those articles in the blood of that first bird that's been killed. Then I want you to sprinkle the blood seven times on that other bird. And I want you to take it out to the field, an open field, and I want you to let it go. Woo! That's what he did for us. I believe when I got saved, he told the devil, loose him. Let him go. He's calling on my name. I believe every time somebody calls on the name of Jesus, he says, loose him. Let him go. Hallelujah. See, Lazarus come forth out of that grave, and he was bound in the grave claws, and Jesus said, loose him. Let him go. Hallelujah. So many people dragging on chains of addiction around. That's why we preach on sanctification. As the Baptists might call it cleansing. Amen. Somebody else, they may call it commitment. The Nazarenes may call it the second work of grace. We may call it the second definite work of grace. Call it what you will, but it's full surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And if you want the full blessing, then full surrender to the Master. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him die daily, take up his cross and follow me. That's the crucified life where it's no longer us living. It's Christ living his life through us, doing his work through us, loving through us, and blessing the world. You can be healed by the prayer of faith. Then I love this. See, God has elders in the church. He has mature Christians. We're all growing. And he's placed them in the church to heal us. Look at James 5:14 again. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the Bible says in James 5:15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. If he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So God has provided a double cure for a double curse. Hallelujah. Forgiveness of all our sin and healing for all our disease. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you at least one more right now. The laying on of hands, number 5. If you would put Mark 16:17 up there. I don't believe it's in the notes. Mark 16:17. I love this. The Great Commission is given 5 places in the Bible. And I love this one right here. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, the name of Jesus, shall they cast out devils. Have you ever cast a devil out of anybody? I've done it hundreds of times. They have to bow to the name of Jesus. Not because of me, but because of him. Not because of you, but because of him, the Jesus of the Bible. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. You have a right to the baptism in the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Why is that so important? Because all the gifts are like links in a chain. And I could tell you some stories about what God has done. Amen. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. We don't know how to pray sometimes in Romans chapter 8. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, in inarticulate expressions, one translation says, have you ever gotten so low and so far down that all you could do was cry and moan and groan, oh God, oh God? And that's the Spirit where he begins to intercede for you. And when we get saved, we get the witness of the Spirit. Everybody that's ever been saved, when I was saved, a little boy, they would teach, well, those denominations don't have the Holy Ghost. Well, I was reading Romans 8:16. Put Romans 8:16 up. I was reading that one day. You know, I told you I was going to teach a little bit this morning. And I said, my Lord, they taught it wrong all my life. God asked me one day, he said, do you want to learn? I said, yes, Lord, I do. He said, you need to change your mind about some things. I said, I thought I was taught right, Lord. But I'm willing to change my mind. The Spirit itself, the newer translations say himself. The Holy Ghost is not an it. He's a person. The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit, we're the children of God. When I got saved, I knew I was saved. Nobody had to tell me. They didn't even have to tell the dog I'd been saved. The dog knew I'd been saved. Amen. But then when I was filled with the Spirit, that was another blessing of God, where he began to fill me and continually fill me with his Spirit. I love the Great Commission there. It says, look at, go back to Mark 16:17, then put verse 18 up there. It's talking about the signs that follow believers. Mark 16:17. All right. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Look at the next verse. Verse 18. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Those are the signs that are supposed to follow you. He didn't say these signs follow the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, and the preachers. He said these signs follow believers. Amen. They follow the body of Christ. And these are great treasures we've lost. But if you can believe, Jesus said, you shall see the glory of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus told his disciples to lay hands on the sick and pray in his name. And he said that if you will do that, he said, then I will heal the sick. We'll come back and start on that one the next time. But I wanted to give you that. I don't know how this will go. I just want to give it to you as the Lord has laid it out for me and as he's giving it to me here. But what I want you to know is that God wants you healed, not just by the sign gifts that we Pentecostal people love so much, but by you using your faith, the prayer of faith, the prayer of agreement, anointing with oil, the laying on of hands. And signs follow believers. Let us stand.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a beautiful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
I want us all to come to the altar. If you're watching by live stream today, I want to give you an opportunity to be saved. So many people are hurting. Just come, please, and everybody that can, and just pray one for another. There's so many needs. But if you're lost and you need a Savior, the most important thing that you could ever do, say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe you died for my sins. Come into my heart. Jesus, I need a Savior. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from all filthiness of the flesh. And oh God, save me. I believe that you are the Son of the living God. Come into my heart. I thank you that I'm saved. If you'll pray words similar to that, you can be saved. If you need special prayer, if you'll hold your hand up, I'll come by and I'll anoint you with oil. And I will pray for you.
Heaven's all roaring, the praise of your glory. For you,
we praise you, Lord,
to life.
That your presence is here.
Oh, you
and Holy Spirit,
no
you're not a playboy to tickle anybody's fancy.
No,
you're a worker. You
now
come on a mission
forever,
to save,
God,
to manifest the glories of the cross.
Yours is the
to touch us, Lord, where we hurt,
yours
where we have a need.
The glory. Yours
oh, God.
Is the name above.
Thank you, Lord, that you're the healer. Lord, I've never claimed to be a healer. I just know, Lord, that as I have spoken the name of Jesus, I've seen so many people healed and blessed. Lord, Sister May's up in age. But Lord, you don't have to have that crutch. A crutch is just temporary, Lord. Give her strength in her body. Glory to God. Father, I pray for Sister Jean. Lord, the whole creation is in groaning. Lord, in our bodies, as we get older, we need new life force. We need new strength. God, I pray for Sister Jean. Be strengthened with might by the Spirit. Be healed. Be made whole. In Jesus' mighty name.